Welcome to 2020, the era of innovation. The Automation Alliance podcast, brought to you by RapidMation.
Hi, everyone. And today I'm very excited to have Luke Kelly as our guest on the Automation Alliance podcast. Luke is the director of an insurance broker called Delaney Kelly Golding, or commonly referred to as DKG. Luke has been a director of DKG Insurance Brokers since 2017, and previously he was general manager of operations for 9 years, focusing on technology and finance. So Luke, welcome to the Automation Alliance podcast.
Thanks, Sean. Happy to be here.
Yeah, we really appreciate you joining us today, mate, and we know it's going to be a great conversation, so I'm personally very excited for it. So Luke, first up, can you tell the listeners a little bit about DKG and what you guys do as a company?
Sure. So we kicked off, we're first and foremost a general insurance brokerage, and what that means is we deal in SME businesses, and we're pretty broad in terms of the industry segments we go after. And really, we have a focus on just trying to assist the customer and anyone who comes our way as best we can, which is the broker's mandate. And in addition to that, we've got an underwriting agency. And what that means is we have a security that lends us its capital, and we have an authority to underwrite and pay claims. And that's with a motor focus in the rental car segment. And so in that agency, we tend to insure guys like the Budget, Savers, Hertz, those sort of franchise owners, and other car hire businesses. And that sort of, I guess, progressed in recent times to what I'll call kind of the future of transport and where that's heading, which is in and around car share, Uber fleets, and all that sort of stuff. So it's quite an interesting space to be in. And then we've also got the claims business on the side, which kind of assists with those motor claims and has that authority to pay claims under that basis as well. And all those sort of businesses, they tie together to an extent, and hence the automation piece, I suppose. It's pretty compelling across all of those business segments. But we've been around, I guess, a long time. I've kind of come and gone in the business over the years, but probably for the last 10 years have been quite focused and then picked up equity in the last couple of years. And head the business up with my brother, and it's always interesting in a family business, the family dynamic and managing the ebbs and flows of that. But I'm pretty lucky, to be honest. So I had a career in hospitality prior to coming into insurance, and everyone talks about insurance and falling into it and this, that, the other, which is a shame, I think, because there's a lot it offers as an industry. But I've got a I guess the privilege of having a family business that I could just walk into and pick up the deal and run with, and I've been pretty lucky from that point of view. So, yeah.
Brilliant, right? And again, I mean, I think back on the story, and the story we're going to go through today is such a great story, right? And I really wanted to share this with the listeners on how a company like yours has truly embraced what I call the automation survive and then thrive message that we've often been speaking to customers about during what can only be described as a pretty crazy year. So maybe to start there as a bit of a background to the story for our listeners. So here at RapidMation, we're a company that automates business processes for our customers using something called intelligent automation. And we do a lot of work in the insurance space. And through some of this work, we got invited to attend one of the insurance industry's largest events, and that's called the Steadfast Convention, where we were going to showcase how intelligent automation could actually help insurance companies eliminate tedious, mundane, and repetitive tasks and free up human users to perform higher value work. So earlier in the year, the event was actually due to be held in late March, and we've been working with a number of insurance underwriters. And during that journey, we wanted to connect with some insurance brokers to understand their problems and pain points that they had in their businesses so that we could create some really great demos to show at that event on how intelligent automation could help transform those businesses. So through that journey, we actually got introduced to you, Luke, and you are well known in the industry for being a very forward-thinking insurance broker. And again, you've gone through a bit of your background and history, and I love it. I've personally really enjoyed working with you and the team. And I think the first time we actually met was late in February when we came past your offices in North Sydney. And saying late February, I mean, it's hard to believe since then, only 9 months ago, what has actually happened in the world since then.
What a crazy year.
Oh my God. What a crazy year, right? So let's start with that first meeting. Can you actually recall that first meeting and what we spoke about in that first meeting with you?
Yeah, it's interesting. Just as a bit of background for listeners, the Steadfast Network is a collection of, I mean, it's an ASX listed company, and first and foremost, but as a network, it's a collection of insurance broking businesses who, I guess, have a common interest, but effectively are competitors to each other when it comes to the client, but share a lot of the same interests in terms of the shared services and technology and shared products. And what Steadfast provides is that collective buying power of a massive enterprise, and gives us that. We'd just be a small independent brokerage that without any kind of connections without them, and it would be a lot harder for us to get competitive against larger broking houses and larger businesses. But what that network provides us with is this scale and this ability to play ball with effectively anybody who comes our way, which is really cool. And so what I've tended to do as a bit of a mantra is pay attention to when there are newer opportunities in the network. And, you know, that comes from just listening to what's out there and putting my hand up when those opportunities present themselves. And I'm talking with respect to new and emerging technologies and trends and things we observe. And so when I hadn't actually planned on any automation this year, it was completely, we'd gone through about 4 years of building out a bunch of internal CRMs to various degrees of success, and called building underwriting systems, building claim systems. And there was a real focus on claims in our business. And we've basically been 12 months of call it in a live version of a claim CRM and call it an application that we built over the top. And so when we got the introduction with you guys, it was like, oh my goodness, but this is really perfect timing, because we're combination of all these things sort of converging. We had an offshore team working sort of about 6 or 7 resources offshore, working really hard on call it effectively manual process, a lot of it to do with email filing and tasking and a lot of duplication. And so, yeah, when you guys knocked on the door, it was perfect timing for us, because we sort of went, oh, wow. I mean, I'd had actually looked at some automation platforms, UiPath being one of them, and tinkered around. But I mean, navigating that world when you have no idea about it from the beginning is fairly intimidating. And I really didn't know where to start. And so it was great when you guys came on the scene, because I was like, oh, perfect. He's a partner I can actually, who understands what we're doing and can integrate with us really quickly and effectively. And we went from there.
Mate, awesome, right? And I still actually remember after that first meeting, and I think we took you through some demos of intelligent automation in action, right? So for maybe some of the listeners who are not familiar with that term, intelligent automation, it's really about using different tools and technologies to automate business processes for companies. And we use a few different types of technologies, but one of them is something called robotic process automation. And it's about teaching these little software bots or agents that sit on your machine or a server inside your environment to do the clicks that you and I as humans do, and in so doing, take care of any tedious, mundane, and repetitive task. So I remember after taking you through a few demos, I could actually see you getting excited across the other side of the table. And I remember when we were walking out, you looked at me, and I don't know if you recall this or not, but you said to me, I want to automate everything, right? And I love that quote, because you could just see on a day-to-day basis what your team was struggling with in terms of some of the pain and mundane tasks. And if you could take those away from them, as you said, right, you could free those brokers up to be brokers and do what us as humans are really good at doing.
Well, this is it. And this is what I thought was maybe a 5-year destination, but turns out it's coming thick and fast, much faster than I'd expected. But this transition from those, taking those knowledge workers, those brokers who are, you know, inherently they are these just really amazing, I'll call them, I mean, the term gets thrown around, subject matter experts, but these guys are, they're in the trenches with their clients, and they understand their products so well. And yet they spend, you know, it's the old Pareto 80-20, but they spend 80% of their time doing effectively duplicated low value administrative process. One of the big things for us is to be competitive as a broker. We found that the only way we can effectively compete against these direct markets is to basically explore the entire market for a given risk. And that's the broker's role, right? To try and procure the capital, effectively tell the story about their client and what their client's risk is all about and why it's good and why the insurer who's sitting with capital should transfer some of that capital into that risk. And that's the broker's sort of mandate. We've got to figure out how to find the capital that's out there and figure it out for the client. And then if we're spending all of our time keying data in and moving, you know, filing, and we've got to be very, very diligent in all that stuff. If we're spending all our time doing that, we're not actually doing our core function, which is, you know, client service. And this is this transition of you know, call it back office administrative heavy across to what's sort of coming, which is people just have to be, you know, it's really great communicators and problem solvers. And that's their focus. And they shouldn't be burdened by the technology or the administration or the compliance or this, that, the other. That sort of stuff needs to be there and be really strong, but it has to sort of, it has to work organically with the broker. And that's what this is so powerful. You're sitting here going, okay, well, in the beginning, we can pick off all the low hanging fruit around processes and repetitive tasks. And where does this go? Where does this transition? Does it go into, you know, I hear you guys talking about other, you know, convergence of machine learning and artificial intelligence, and down the track, you know, how does that all play out? And this idea of a digital, call it assistant for the broker and every broker having that capacity to be able to effectively move hay much faster and more efficiently. It's just really powerful stuff.
Yeah, amazing, right? And I guess in that meeting, right, we started talking about some of the most tedious, mundane and repetitive tasks that you had in the business.
Yep.
And I remember, right, within pretty much 5 minutes, we came up with three really great ideas that were a good fit for automation. So do you remember those first three ideas that we came up with pretty quickly?
Yeah, so, I mean, one of the biggest problems we had, called in the short, well, it's a large problem, but sort of, again, low value. And it's in around the debtors process. And a lot of transaction systems that we deal in might have a function for it, but what we found was it wasn't quite end to end. And so we had at least a resource, and sometimes it converges across, you know, half a dozen people around debtor management. Debtor court lists were blowing out and nobody knew what was going on. And so debtors was a problem we wanted to solve. And then we thought about the simple, the other thing was a retail sort of called domestic lines. I'm talking about personal insurance for home, for motor. It's something that, you know, it comprises a high volume of our client base, more than 50% actually. And it's really quite low value for us as brokers to work on those policy lines. And so, I mean, we need to be able to do it because a client has an expectation that we can service them across the entirety of their risk profile. But for us, it's such a low value work to go to, you know, half a dozen insurers on one, call it single motor policy or one single home policy, but in order to be competitive, we have to do it. So that quoting of the retail stuff seemed like a perfect solution for RPA as well. And then, you know, the list goes on, right? The other big challenge was claims, and really, you know, it's effectively 90% of the time a very linear process that it seems perfect to be able to get to an automation point. But the first thing for us was, hey, we're getting a whole heap of emails and they convert. Like, inbox management is just such a pain in the neck for us. Like we get, you know, for a business of our size, like, I mean, it's all relative to how big you are and how, you know, and every business has their unique problems, but we were sort of seeing, you know, 300 or 400 emails coming in a day to the claims inboxes, and and we're managing it across three different brands. And so basically three people's full-time role, two of them being offshore and another onshore, was to just manage the flow of those emails into the business, make sure that they're being basically dragged into our document management system and then uploaded into CRM and tasked against the appropriate record in CRM and categorized. And that's, you know, that's such it's really mundane and basic and really not something, no one sits down and enjoys doing that work. Do you know what I mean? It screams out for this automation piece. And so that were the sort of headlines, but we, you know, the list just goes on and on and on. And I think this is what's really quite amazing is you hear about companies that have got hundreds of processes in the automation piece. And we've only kicked off, we're only the third one really now after 6 months. So I just see it keep on, it's just going to keep on going. And where does it stop? So very cool.
Yeah, exactly that, right? And I remember because often we brainstormed some of those ideas around things like debtors, claims, quotes. We actually got one of our automation gurus to go ahead and build out some demonstrators for you, right?
Yeah.
And I remember we went away, maybe a week or two later, we came across and I sent across a video to you that showed one of these little robotic process automation software bots managing that debtors process end to end for you. So can you tell the listeners a little bit about what you saw in that video and what your initial thoughts were?
Well, so this idea of, well, how does this all work? How does it all come together? Which at the time I kind of had a visual in my mind, but to see it actually play out, I mean, this thing can go into whatever system you've got and click as if it's a human and do the effective human work in the same way as one of your people who would have to be trained up in doing that. And that's just... It's just such a light bulb moment, isn't it? When you don't realize this stuff's around, and all of a sudden you see it it seems like magic, really. So effectively, what this thing can do is go in and within our we have basically a transaction system, which I'll call an accounting ledger. So that accounting ledger system records all of our transactions, and it's also an interface between us and insurers. And there's a bunch of these systems out there and available to the industry. And they each have their own sort of ebbs and flows and pitfalls. But one of them in particular that we use and we were one of the first to get on board with, it's a Steadfast owned piece of software, and it's called Insight. And the amazing thing about Insight is it's starting to become more of an open API system, which means that data points within and out can be pushed and pulled, right? So you can go from a what would only ever be a manual to something sort of really streamlined and efficient in the back end. But the debtor process effectively, you know, run a report, figure out what's outstanding at 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, and then pick that client, send an email communication to the client effectively as a single follow-up with a statement, with the invoice attached, following on with, you know, a second reminder. But also, you know, we have obligations to insurers to communicate with those guys through a debtor process. We have obligations to the client to let them know that cover might be ceasing. So there's all these, it's not just as simple as send an invoice and a payment reminder. We've got all these layers of compliance that add in over the top. So we've been able to integrate all of those bits and pieces into this process. It's just amazing. And so when we went live on this, Sean, I don't know, I probably haven't had a chance to check in with you about it, but so I think it was a Thursday and there was a lot of internal noise, right? Everyone was freaking out, and we built a kind of a switch in the client to say, okay, if you've got a major client who you don't want credit control letters, right? Because no one wants their big client to have a payment reminder. They get concerned that the client will get angry or this, that, the other. And I have my thoughts on this, but whether it's, you know, appropriate or not. But if you've got this, so we sent this to the circulation out before the bot went live. We said, look, if you have a client you want to not receive an automation, just go in and flick the switch, and it'll just say, please don't credit control this guy. And so, of course, that went out. We thought that was okay, but of course there was you know, a dozen clients who didn't actually get it turned off, and then the automation went off and it went out, And then the brokers are like, oh, you've sent this out. I can't believe it. And then anyway, the long story short is not a single client complained. And I think from memory, we had about 180K of premium paid, which was outstanding the next day. So that's, for a business of our size, that's like completely unprecedented in terms of credit control. And ever since we turned that on, it's gone from a call it a 70% problem to a 15% problem.
Mate, what amazing stats, right?
I mean, it's really cool. Like, so cool. And it's become now just a non-issue. It was something I had to have a resource on. That resource now has shifted into something else. And that new something else is going to then shift again because we're building automations around that. And so, I mean, I've got this position that I'm not building these things to remove resources, right? It's about shifting people's roles into what they need to become. And that we still need staff. We still need people to do their work, but it's a different style of work. It's a transition now into something that's more stable. I mean, and probably got more certainty, I think, in the long run. So,
mate, couldn't have said it better, right? And I often talk to customers about there's generally three reasons why people start automation, right? So one of them is obviously to save costs, but the one that I see the most often is exactly that, right? So it's to increase efficiency and to free up your team to perform higher value work, which sounds like it's spot on the button with you guys, and that's exactly what you're looking to do. Remove the tedious, mundane, repetitive, and free up your team to focus on that higher value work.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, that's it. And I mean, so with debtors, we've got that great result. And equally, I'll talk to what we've achieved with the email filing, because again, that was something that's just such a pain in everyone's, you know, I won't say what I was going to say, but pain in everyone's neck, right? So, and effectively, there's always a lag. There's always, you know, inbox zero is not a thing. You've always got, you know, 100 emails that have been tagged or something, and oh, we're going to get to that one next week. Well, why hasn't it been far? Well, you know, I've got something going on with it, and there's always a story, but we're never at that point where the design process in the business, which is receive the email, file it, task it, done, and then you run off a tasking list as opposed to emails. Everyone's so driven by Outlook, like people can't remove themselves from Outlook as their point to sort of their daily workflow. Anyway, so the email automation, it was pretty, I mean, within about 3 weeks of kicking this project off, we categorized about 48 types of email that could come into the business, and given parameters around how to locate the file that would be relevant against, and how to task it. And that was sort of an integration between, call it Outlook, our CRM, our claim CRM, and our document management system, which is, we use Box, B-O-X, which is pretty cool, and that the APIs are very fluid. And so the convergence of the robotic process automation software and our internal bits and pieces, there was no effort really on our part other than, you know, call it just a bit of feedback and a little bit of process mapping in order to achieve it. And it's just wildly cool. And now I think when I looked at it last night, that bot has worked on, I think, 9,000 plus emails since inception of since turning it on, which would have been around July. Mm-hmm. Just think about 9,000 emails. A single person would have to file and task that. That could take them, if they were really good, probably 2.5 minutes each one, but let's be honest, it's a 5 to 10 minute people would drag that out over time. And so, yeah, just a great result.
Mate, love it, right? Love it. And I remember when you guys did that email administration process, because it was kind of at the height of COVID, right? And so what we were seeing out in the market was that literally overnight, people had to move to remote ways of working. People couldn't go into offices anymore. Specifically, some of the stuff we started to see is with people who had offshore teams, those offshore teams could no longer go into their offices, which means they couldn't actually get any of the work done, right? So it was just, it accelerated everything. And that email admin process where you did have some of your offshore team working on it, it was actually the perfect time to try and automate it, because it allowed those people to do more with less and be able to take care of that process, whether they were in the office or not.
Absolutely. I mean, this is, it now means that those people who were just simply handling email filing, what value is that adding? Okay, it's adding some value, but it's quite, you know, it's quite minor. And then that moves into something. What are they doing now? Well, they're actually engaging with customers. They're doing things that are now going to, you know, drive us forward and add value. And that's the thing. We don't want our human resources, you know, performing these mundane tasks. It adds no, you know, it's so much more powerful for those people to be engaged in the customer and what the customer wants and needs and listening to problem solving problems than it is for them to just be dealing with these top end admin heavy tasks.
Yeah, that's it, right? I mean, I must be honest, right? That was one of the many reasons why I was very impressed with you and your company, right? Because at a time where arguably many people were just pausing, you saw how automation could actually help out your business. And that's why I'm so positive that you're going to be wildly successful on this type of automation, because you've actually been doubling down on it. And it's allowed you to kind of survive in the short term. But once we pop out the other side of this, it's certainly going to allow you and your business to thrive.
Right. I mean, this was where we were sort of, we sat down and we went, look, if it all goes to, you know, crap, and it is, we've got one of two choices. We sit here and we just try and survive it. But why don't we just take advantage of this time and build at the same time? And yeah, look, you've got to have the resource to be able to pull that off, and a bit squirreled away to figure that out. But for me as a director, I went, well, look, I'd rather take some capital and shove that back into this project right now, because I know 5 years from now, the dividends are going to be coming back tenfold to what I contributed in the short term. I mean, this is where it's at. And you sort of, I know out there, there'd be a tendency to hold back in a time of struggle, but it's like, for me, the way we create this competitive advantage and the way we, as you say, thrive into the future, it's to embrace this stuff. And for me, everyone sits around waiting for people to take action and test the water. And insurance is really typical of this, where it's such a slow moving industry. And it has to be to an extent, in that there are so many compliance and regulatory parameters to figure out that you've got to be very careful. But at the same time, we're now in, it's 2020, right? The technology capacity to where it was in 2015, it moves so fast. And so it's, for me, that's what it was all about. Just we've got this opportunity, and I'm a very kind of sliding doors kind of guy. Like, if you see an opportunity in front of you, you've really got to grab it by the horns and run with it. And that's sort of why I think we've committed the way we have to working with you guys, is that, you know, it's not every day that you find a technology partner who is so proficient in and understands the type of thing you're going for so well. And you guys are just so amazing at that stuff. And that's what's been quite powerful, in that all we're providing in this relationship is, you know, the information about our business and our processes. And you guys, you know, you've got the automation piece wrapped up. You've got the developer side of that automation piece wrapped up. And there's sort of a liaison between our developer and you guys, and we've had to figure out what does the new internal called automation team look like. And at the moment, it's very slap bang, like most things I do, ready, fire, aim. But we're learning, right? We're figuring it out, and we're undertaking something that we didn't think we were going to be doing, 12 months ago. It wasn't even on the radar. So we have to be that way. Otherwise, I don't know how we would do it.
Right, that's exactly it, right? And often people often hear me talk about Simon Sinek, who's one of my favorite kind of authors and writers. And he's got a great quote about kind of trying and failing. And honestly, if you don't try, you're never going to know and you're never going to learn, right? And I think you guys have done a great job in that. And sure, like you've gone and you'll be learning as we go along. But I mean, already the results have been amazing about what you've managed to achieve.
You've got to have a crack, right?
That's it. Got to have a go, right? Mate, so one of the other things we often talk to customers about, right, is naming these digital workers and naming these bots, because they really do become, I guess, part of your team, right? So I know in the beginning we shared some names of what other customers use and what we use internally. Tell us a bit about, what did you guys name your digital worker and colleague?
Look, I proclaim I'm a bit of a sci-fi nerd, but then I'd probably, that'd be an injustice to sci-fi nerds. But we went with Marvin, the paranoid android, because Hitchhiker's Guide is very cool. Yeah. And it seemed appropriate
in this high anxiety period. And it's funny, yeah, the familiarity you then have to have with that bot, it does become like it has its own persona to an extent, doesn't it? So it's quite cool.
Yeah, awesome. Love it, Ryan. Love it. And one of the other things you guys did is after we started off with that email admin process and then got debtors going, right, is we put you onto something called an automation membership. And what that does, it gives you access to a number of days per month, which you can use at any time across the year to build out these automations. And many of our customers love this plan, right? It's kind of subscription-based. It ensures you have a great cadence to deliver these automations. And I know for you and the DKG team, we run a few weeks on, then a few weeks off. That just gives you a nice ability to just start automating different processes across the business. So we started with email admin, then we went to debtors. What was your third process off the ranks? What did you guys go for there?
Yeah, so what we've kicked off now is this I'll call it the retail motor, and it's an automation around renewal of that. And a typical policy at the moment, you know, because it's such a competitive market, I mean, it's the hardest insurance market any of us have ever seen, in terms of getting pricing that sort of is competitive, and so what we need to do is we need to go to the entirety of that market. So for a single, call it retail motor policy, the guys are going to sometimes five or six insurers. And just think about that for a second. That's five or six pieces. It might take you 20 minutes to do that quote, and you got to do that six times on a policy that might pay you, if you're really lucky, a couple of $100. It's really light. Like you can't ignore the business, because we you never know if the client's going to be, well, they've probably got a connection to a broader business or something else that's going on, and we don't like to close doors. But when you step back and look at this from a high level, it's just wildly, difficult to maintain that from a profitability point of view. So screams out for automation, and we could either divest, like we could say, look, we're not going to do this business, and we just divest, right? But I feel like they're with the power of this automation now, I'd rather invest some time and energy into delivering a result there and see if that goes well. Because if that goes well, we've solved the problem. And if it doesn't go well, what have we lost? We've lost a bit of time and a bit of effort, but we've probably learned something about automation along the way. So the next thing we do might get easier. So what we sort of pegged is this renewal process. And what we're sort of working on even today right now is figuring out how this thing can go into our interface with our insurers and effectively scrape a few quotes together into one email and control the process of sending out the pre-renewal kind of information that we need to collect, and then pushing it into, when that comes back in, pushing that back into the systems, and then revealing terms for the client and pushing that out. And it's important to sort of factor in how the broker fits into all this, and that there's going to be, we have to insert the human element in that process, because the client needs to know that they've got an account executive that's their go-to and things like that. But these are things we'll figure out. But it's pretty cool that this thing, I mean, within a matter of hours, we know it can go in, it can screen scrape effectively, and it can produce the result. So really excited to see this come together. And I think we're probably only a couple of weeks away from our first sort of go live on it.
Awesome, right? And what I can tell you is that one's going to be hugely successful for you guys as well, because we do a lot of renewal processes on the underwriting side. And the beauty about it is it's all about those humans and software bots working together, right? As you mentioned there, at certain stages, people need to know who their go-to is, but it's really about doing all the heavy lifting for that broker or even the underwriter to go through and get all of that stuff ready for them, and then actually ship it off to the clients, and then give the clients an interaction point, which is a human user, and one of our users inside our company, right? So I'm looking forward to following that one. But I mean, just listening to your story, right? Already three processes up and running, the fourth one kind of almost up and running as well in a very few short months. So it's absolutely amazing. And I'm sure you've got heaps of other bright ideas that you're looking to turn into what we call automation champagne. So are there any things that you can share on what you may be looking at automating next?
Yeah, I mean, it's in every corner of the business, Sean. Like we're looking at, you know, it's just, and so what happens now is, I guess, so based on the way we've set this up in that we're month to month and we know next month we've got X amount of days and we have to focus on that. We earlier in the year, we took a step back and said, okay, if we're going to take this stuff really seriously, I mean, what you got to factor in about our business. I mean, we're a family business. It's an insurance broking house, but and all that stuff. But we're, you know, we're effectively a small business, and our processes, you know, whilst we have manuals and process manuals and everything sort of pretty clear, it all sort of sits in a document, or it sits in a person's head, and they've been doing the role for 15 years and they know exactly what they're doing. So we took a step back earlier in the year, and we acquired a process mapping piece of technology. It's a Nintex is the software. Interestingly, Nintex have acquired the K2 business. So I'm keen to pick your brain on that down the track, but that seems like a pretty timely development for us, because we were building our process and mapping our processes in this Nintex software. And so what that sort of lets us do is departmentally go, okay, here are all the processes, and well, we've kicked off these bigger ones, but this sort of now it comes back to, okay, where are we going to go? And it gives us kind of that roadmap, if you like, for the future processes. And so I think for us, it's going to be along the lines of underwriting and how this data comes in on a renewal. How do we interpret that data? And a lot of the stuff we do is around larger sort of fleet-based clients, and the management of that data into an Excel when it comes in, it comes in so many different ways. Like we'll have some clients who send it in a structured, you know, Excel sheet, others who fax us in, you know, a handwritten copy. And so it's like from one extreme to another. And so we've got to figure out a more efficient way of managing that stream of data in to effectively produce the quote. So we've got this sort of, in my mind's eye, the automation of that renewal process for underwriting will be the next thing. But it's this idea of this, call it digital assistant for each of the brokers. And I'm really keen to put this into play across a couple of the more savvy guys who the idea that they can actually, you know, build their own automation, or sort of using the UiPath software builder, if they have a repetitive process that we're not across because we haven't mapped it yet in the system, or it's something that we hadn't realized yet, give those guys the power to sort of start to build out their own little small automations for themselves and see if those stick. But I think the cool thing for us is, because we've got this, call it executive level support across the business, I've been very clear. I mean, essentially there hasn't been anyone called an executive level in the business who's pushed back on this. Everyone's seen the power of it, everyone understands it, and everyone wants to go hard at it. So that trickles down the line. And there'll be people who have concerns about, you know, how we're going to go. But I think what 2020 has kind of shown us is, I mean, we've gotten through this period, which is arguably one of the toughest times anyone's ever seen. And we've made sure that everyone kept their job, and we've made sure that everything is above board for the staff. And I think that they're less concerned now that this automation piece is designed to just gazump their roles, because it's got nothing to do with replacing headcount. It's about scale. It's about can we go from where we are now to what's possible down the track. And so for me, that's the thing I'm focusing on, is how can we get how can I double the business in 3 to 5 years off the back of really, you know, call it this automation first idea, putting automations at the front of everything we're thinking about. Okay, cool. And then from there, working to scale the business that way.
Mate, absolutely brilliant, right? And just going back through a few things you said there. So yeah, Nintex recently acquired K2. So funny, we're now a Nintex partner. So with that ProMap tool, and perhaps for some of the listeners who don't know what that is, it's an amazing tool from Nintex that allows you to document out your business processes, but allows different people to comment and collaborate on different steps of the process so that you can obviously improve it. You can see what it looks like today. And once you understand that process and how you can do it better, that's when you can look at automating different parts of that process. So yeah, look, I'll definitely reach out. We'll have a chat about some of that because I've got some good stuff to show you around that.
Well, what's cool on that, Sean, is like I've got now I'll call it half a dozen processes. I mean, they take some time to get in there, but once they're in there, then we take a step back and say, on a role based, I can now say, well, actually, this is what Marvin's role is across the business, and the hours that we expected to work, and this is how any particular process converges with that the bot versus the human, and off we go and sort of see it from there. So that was quite cool, I thought.
Brilliant, right? Brilliant. And the other thing I wanted to share with you is we often do these things called build a bot sessions, right? And one we ran recently for a big insurance company is we got 23 business users, right? So these are arguably people that have zero experience with automation. And we gave them a specific tool called UiPath Studio X, which is what they call a citizen developer tool. So it's targeted at kind of business users like you and I. And in a 2-hour session, we got them all to build up their own software bot. And this little software bot logged onto a website, downloaded an Excel spreadsheet, picked up a record in an Excel spreadsheet, opened up another website, plugged that data in, and then looped through a spreadsheet of maybe 50 records. And at the end of that, sent out an email notification to said that that process was all done. So it was amazing in that session just to see people, normal business users, their eyes light up to realize that within 2 hours, with arguably zero training, we could get them to build their own bot. But what we then did is we actually left that software with them for the next couple of weeks. And 2 weeks later, we scheduled a session called Present Your Bot. And what we did then is we asked those business users to go away, think about something that they have in their daily job, which is pretty tedious, mundane, and repetitive, and try use the software to automate that process and build an automation themselves. And mate, I cannot wait to run this for you guys, because what that team showed back to us was truly amazing, with arguably very little training, what they managed to automate in their different day-to-day roles.
Yeah, amazing. And that, I mean, if you think about the power of, at the moment, I've got a one or two people in the organization who are focusing on the automation, right? And if all of a sudden now I've got 10 people who are thinking about it and actually putting it into play and figure out that they can do something quickly and easily, imagine the power of that over time exponentially. I mean, that's just amazing. And this is this low code world that we're entering into, right? It's like you don't need to be a programmer. You don't need to have that baseline skill set in order to do this stuff anymore, because the platforms are just so amazing at it.
Right, that's exactly it, right? And we call that the automation flywheel, right? So basically there's top-down processes. So that's, as an example, maybe perhaps us as RapidMation helping you guys develop some processes. But really where you want to get to hyper-automation, which is pervasive automation across your business, is doing bottom-up automation as well. And that's, as you say, teaching the business users inside your organization and give them the ability to create their own automations. And that's where you truly get to hyper automation across your business.
I'm really keen to see how that plays out. Really looking forward to that. That'll be awesome.
Yeah. Mate, I think that's been awesome, right? So I guess there's many companies just like yours who may have not taken the step into starting their intelligent automation journey just yet. Do you have any words of wisdom that you can share with them?
I think what I would say is I think there's going to be pushback in terms of commitment to resourcing this kind of stuff. But I would say that, you know, you've got to think about your customer and the customer journey and what we're trying to do. And for me, it's left me thinking that, you know, we're looking to redesign the customer journey here in an entirety. And I think we're also thinking about, you know, the staff, that they're going to be happier if they can do less of this back office heavy administration stuff, and if that's sort of taken care of. So I think it's about this stuff's going to make your customers happier. It's going to make your staff happier, And I think it's going to drive profitability. And I think that the risk is too high and to ignore it now. And I think that that will be the message is we're not, it's, this is not, we're not in an experimentation phase anymore with this technology. It's not a, is it maybe, or it might happen, man, this stuff's happening now and fast, faster than I'm a pretty optimistic person around technology's progression and how fast it comes, but wow, I was blown away about how quickly this is going to be happening. And yeah, I would say everyone should just get on board with it as quickly as they can, because it's coming whether they like it or not.
Mate, what a great way to wrap it up, right? And we often say to customers, it's no longer about if you're going to automate, but rather when. Yep. And when needs to be today, right? And what that's going to allow you to do, it's going to allow you to obviously automate some of your business now, survive during these crazy times, but when you pop out the other side, it will allow you to thrive.
Absolutely.
Luke, thank you so much for sharing your story, mate. I really, really appreciate it. I've been continually impressed with you, your business, how you guys have adopted an automation-first mindset, and I have no doubt that this will set you up to continue to thrive well into the future. So I look forward to following your story and celebrating many of your successes with lots of RapidMation automation champagne.
Awesome. Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, Luke. Speak soon.
Be part of the community and join the Automation Alliance at www.automationalliance.com.